You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are here. Now Wednesdays, 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. Welcome wherever you are around the world. And today, as usual, I have an amazing guest. And we're going to be talking about aging gracefully. I think I hate that phrase, aging gracefully. I just sort of made that up because we're going to go way beyond that.
Yeah.
And you see him right there, Mark Allen. He is, by the way, one of the hosts, the main host of Late Night Health, and Mark Allen Cooks. We'll talk more about that too, as to where you can get more information about Late Night Health. Listen to it. What a great show. You really put that together, man. That helps so many people, Mark.
Thank you. You've been on it a number of times.
I have.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I appreciated that.
Sure.
But also, your Mark Allen Cooks show is, oh, you are a great chef. My gosh.
Well, I'm not really a chef. I'm just somebody who likes to eat. You can't see my belly, but that it's growing. Well, no, I've always liked to cook. So much so that we're a family of cooks with one chef. Our son is a professional chef. He's cooked all around the country, and mostly here in Southern California. And he's amazing. And
he's an amazing young man. I'm so proud of you all and your family. And by the way, guys, I've known Mark since college.
Maybe yes.
About 15 years ago. Yeah.
No, it was 10. What are you talking about? It's only 10 years ago.
Right. And I've worked with him off and on throughout the years, been blessed enough to take part in many of his shows, which he's produced. He is an award-winning host and producer. Of course, he's still working like crazy and making wonderful media information for everybody out there. Also, during the last 20 years plus, you've been a television host. I've seen you on reporting and producing, and you even hosted a reality show, live game show, and trivia program. And what, interviewing about?
I was a news anchor too, out in Santa Barbara, Ventura. It only lasted about 4 months, but it was fun.
You were good. See, and when we talked before the show, I was saying, you've done so much that I really want to capture, you know, the main things, because there's so much. I mean, we could go on for another 15 minutes about everything you've done, but I was just going to say about, you have interviewed about 30,000 plus people in your line of work.
Yes.
Amazing. You've had blessings to find out so much information from not only health professionals with your late night talk show host.
Right.
But also with every other thing you've done, and interviewing experts on every particular subject, celebrities, you name it.
Yeah. Right. Financial. You and I did work together with the old FNN. I produced, you were hosting.
That's right.
With our late friend, John Darren. I still miss him a lot.
Me too. The FNN, by the way, was Financial News Network, or Mark.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That was so cool.
And, I'm still doing financial shows. Right now I'm doing I do a precious metals show.
Oh, cool.
I produce another show on financial, and it just, you know, it grows. My two favorite shows, of course, are my own shows, and that's the Late Night Health and the Mark Allen Cooks.
I love those. Those are terrific.
And you're going to be on. Michelle has agreed to come on Mark Allen Cooks.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to make.
Yeah.
That airs, by the way, on Facebook Live.
Perfect.
On Wednesdays at 4 o'clock Pacific. Tonight is a rerun.
Oh, okay.
Due to technical issues beyond my control.
Okay. No worries. And I'll be happy to come on and watch you cook. But you can just tell me what to add. How's that? Yeah. You put a cup of this in there and then stir it for, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, getting back to my dear friend's latest book, I want to talk about that today because it's a winner and it really is. It's a real positive. Here we are.
Oh,
there you are. And your co-host.
My co-host is Servet Hassan. She's become a very good friend. She kicked me in my tush to get me to help her write it.
Yeah.
And
she's amazing.
We were number one in our category and on Amazon. And I think it's a great book for anybody who has senior parents who are over 50. And it's 99 cents on Amazon and Kindle.
Wow, that's great.
Yes.
Well, the book is called Growing Old Sucks, but it doesn't have to.
Right.
And I really like that. And it's really how to age with attitude. And when you told me the title of your book first, I went, wait a minute. That's not the Mark Allen I know in high school and college mostly.
Right.
That's not the guy I knew in college and growing up with. And he's so positive. He's this old soul that's always very calm and wise. And you are kind of an old soul too.
I am an old soul. I may even be an old body. But we had a couple of things about this.
Yeah.
I came up with the byline. I had this idea 10, 12 years ago. And Servet really helped me focus it and make it happen. The byline is really what I think is important, but it doesn't have to.
Yes.
Everybody says growing old sucks, you know.
Yeah.
Your elbows creak, your knees hurt, your feet hurt.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I sat around with some old radio guys. What did we talk about?
Yeah.
Well, when did you go to the doctor last?
Oh, God. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's a thing, you know, but anyway, I really enjoyed your book and I thank you for sharing this whole idea. And again, the byline, but it doesn't have to suck. And you and Servet offer some amazing information about how to really take care of ourselves. And I say ourselves. We're not old, you and I. But I mean, it's, you know, after 55, which they consider to be a senior, we can get into the movies, cheap, you know, then it's like, okay, you know, it's really a cool thing. So what do you think about, you know, you're talking about your friends.
Yes.
Oh my God, my pains, my anger. What do you think about friends that say, oh, why don't you just be natural? Why don't you just like not color your hair? And what, you know, all these women are getting, you know, facelifts and guys are getting facelifts. And
they are. I think that if it makes you feel good, you should do it. A couple of years ago, I did some video work for a plastic surgeon.
Oh.
And he had me pre-interview some women.
Yeah.
And one of the women was getting a boob job. She wanted bigger breasts.
Yeah.
And I said to her, why are you doing this? Is it because of your boyfriend or husband?
Yeah.
No, I just really wanted them to be bigger. I've always wanted bigger breasts. And she was doing it for herself. And I think that, you know, I think that's I think that's why you do it.
Yes.
Right.
You know, what's the old joke about Billy Crystal in the old Saturday Night Live? And he used to play that, it's better to look good than to feel good guy.
Yes. and to a certain extent, I agree with that. I stopped dyeing my hair, when my daughter asked me not to.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
The power of the daughter, man.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Cool.
I don't know if you remember my beard, but I had a beard and she was really young. And she said, it's scratchy, daddy, get rid of it. You know? So
I remember that.
And in reality, I find it itchy anyway. So it was a good excuse.
Right.
But what happens with my hair when I dye it, I have this white thing here and it turns orange after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So she hated that. And I did too. So I have to go back and have a touch up and, it was too much.
A hassle. It's a hassle. And when it gets too much, it's whatever, however anything makes you feel. And you look marvelous, darling.
Yeah, yes. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I posted a picture on LinkedIn of you and me.
Oh, my God. I saw that.
A number of years ago. And I got a response from my friend Nina, who lives in Montreal.
Uh-huh.
Who said, "You look the same, Mark, except you have a few gray hairs."
Oh, I love
Nina. I'm arranging for Nina to have an eye exam and and maybe even get new glasses.
Very funny. I love it. But that was a great old picture. And the styles back then, and we've done pretty well. We take care of it.
We've preserved well. I wanted to say something and get your opinion on this. A lot of people talk about anti-aging.
Right.
Both your vet and I agree, if you anti-age, you're dead.
Explain further, darling.
All right. Yes. So we all age. A baby is aging. You know, you have a beautiful grandchild and they age, they grow so fast.
Yeah.
But we anti-aging, if you stopped aging, you wouldn't grow.
Right.
In here.
Exactly.
And I think that's what keeps me young, at least most of the time. The reason I like working and talking to people is I learn. And I think learning is the key to being young.
Yes.
I've taught myself a variety of different things over the years that make me think.
Yes.
And I think that's important.
For you. I mean, you do. You talk about that. I can't pronounce his name correctly. I guess Charles Fuscillo, the CEO of Alzheimer's Foundation.
Right, right.
You talk to him about, you know, how important it is. And I didn't necessarily want to jump into Alzheimer's or dementia or anything like that.
Right.
But since you brought up the mind thing, I mean, it is so important for people constantly, no matter what age they are, but to always keep learning and growing and stimulating themselves. And because there's this whole stigma, I know we talked about when it comes to retirement, that whole vibe to me is like, I'm just going to shut off everything and chill out and watch TV. Maybe go to the Bahamas for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But it's about really keeping ourselves learning new things, thriving.
Yes.
Picking up some interesting hobbies, right?
Yeah.
And things like that.
Well, I interviewed a woman yesterday, Carol Critchman. And Carol is around 80 years old.
Yeah.
She has a book coming out.
Cool.
In February about her days living in China. She has a nonprofit that's global now for young filmmakers. She plays pickleball, she told me.
Very cool.
Ryan, she's 80 years old. I'm afraid to play pickleball with her. She beat my butt.
I hear you. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And I see all of these people doing such wonderful things in their 80s, in their 90s.
Yes.
And,
yes. And yeah, I hear you.
Right? And then there are other people who sit on a couch, they retire, and they don't do anything until they drop dead. And what a waste of life.
A waste of time. And we'll talk about that too. I was just so blessed to be able to have my uncle, my dad's younger brother, with us until earlier last year. He was 97. And my sister and I would go, they lived up in Northern California, Pismo Beach-ish. And we'd go up there and he would play and kick our butts at cribbage. Cribbage is it's a mind game. It's a math game. It's not an easy game to play. But he was sharp as a tack. He was funny, hilarious. His body was just sort of saying, I'm really tired. You know, he was having a hard time walking and he had some kidney disease. But man, this guy was sharp as a tack and he was always walking and always going and he was fighting. you know, the good fight. And he had a beautiful, fulfilling life. So I love that when you talk about keeping and doing games is so important, puzzles that keep our mind fresh, things like that.
On this, on you know, on your smartphone, you can. When I'm sitting around waiting or doing something, I'll play something.
Yes, exactly. That's so smart. Right. I bought myself a couple of books. I decided this year to do some resolutions to relearn some things, and also so I bought myself an algebra book, because for me algebra was always really hard. I had a really hard time with math.
Right.
So I decided to relearn algebra because it's really important for my brain development again. And also I bought a book on quantum physics consciousness, right? Ooh. That's like the new thing in quantum physics.
Yeah.
The physicists like Nassim Haramein, you know, he talks about quantum consciousness and all that. So I'm forcing myself to really try to understand these things. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. So anyway,
but going for your doctorate, didn't you have math in there? I mean, I'm trying to, you know, statistics and things. That's hard stuff.
I did. I had to learn statistics. And in my dissertation, I had to do a statistical analysis of the significance of my experiment. So what I did is I went
over my head.
I went to my statistics professor at Pepperdine University and begged him to help me with the statistics on the dissertation. I mean, what can I say? Anyway, let's talk about you and physically healthy and how we can sort of keep ourselves up. Servette talks about the importance, as do you, of keeping our nutrients up as well. And, you know, she discusses how many of us are lacking in vitamin D and omega-3 fatty acids, which we all fish oil or fish of some kind, things like that. So can you share a little bit more about why it's really important that we don't throw out those vitamins? Or
well, even Dr. Fossey had said at one point during COVID, take vitamin D. In the United States, they found statistically that a lot of us have low vitamin D levels. I don't remember what the numbers are because I didn't do well in algebra either. And trigonometry hit me upside the head.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
And but a study was done by the Organics and Natural Association, my friend Karen Howard, who's the CEO, she did this survey, and I have to tell you, you know, vitamin D is so important. Now, human beings can make vitamin D.
Yes, we can.
We can. And we do that by being in the sun. However, dermatologists say don't be in the sun unless you put on sunblock.
Right. Sunscreen.
If you put on the sunscreen, the sunblock, you don't make vitamin D.
Right.
So it's an oxymoron.
Yes, it is.
So, you need to supplement. And supplementation is becoming more and more acceptable in allopathic or traditional health. I work on late night health. I do an awful lot of talking with people from around the world on alternative health. Now, I blend that with allopathic as well.
Yes.
But we do things like, you know, the latest cancer treatments. At the same time, we talk about how to prevent cancer, what not to eat, you know, those artificial flavors and colors in your food. Get rid of them, folks.
Right?
Non-GMO foods. Eat organic as much as you can, clean. These are really important. Stay away from bad oils.
Right.
Do you like Mexican food?
Yes.
You're a native Californian.
I am.
All right. Mexican food, believe it or not, as a native Californian, being born in Hollywood, is my least favorite food. But I do like chips and salsa, right? Most chips are fried in cottonseed oil.
Oh, not good.
No, cottonseed oil. There's a book back here someplace on, yeah, on why it's bad, how it's bad. And they use it because it's, yeah, cheap. How much more money could, sure, it be to use safflower oil, which is better? Canola oil is kind of like in the middle. Greg Salea in our, yeah, book, has a master's in nutrition and is a chiropractor. Greg, yeah, says canola oil is not a good oil.
Right.
There are reasons for that. So olive oil, avocado oil. I haven't cooked with the, yes, avocado oil. I like the taste. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, and also coconut oil is good, right? Isn't coconut oil?
Oh, coconut oil, yes. Huh. I have a problem with coconut oil in that it has a sweetness. So if you're making,
oh yeah,
something,
yes,
whatever it might be, it's going to add a little touch of sweet to the dish.
Sure.
And maybe you don't want it.
Right, exactly. Right. So, you know, do you think a lot of people should go vegan, or are you just saying non-GMO foods?
You know, I try to eat plant-based once, yeah, a week.
Okay, good for you.
But I still crave that steak. I have had a craving for 2 months for a skirt steak.
Oh, boy.
And I really want it, okay?
Yeah, I hear you.
And so I do eat meat. I try to limit it. I don't think I've had beef for a week. And I think anything in moderation is okay.
Okay. That,
but I'm not a doctor. I'm a talker.
Yeah. Well, no, but you are well-informed. And, you know, you've had interviewing over 30,000 people in your career. You've had a lot of experience, and with your late-night health program. knowing a lot about medical issues and what to eat and what not to eat.
And then I eat them anyway.
There, well, and you, like you said, in moderation, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Growing old sucks, but it doesn't have to, is the name of Mark Allen's latest book, along with his co-author. She's really great too, Servette Hassan, and they have gotten together to write this book. There it is.
I'm sorry, you're doing a promo. I should be quiet.
Oh, I should. Yes.
Yeah.
I should do this promo.
No, I should be. I should be.
Oh, no, you shouldn't. How to Age with Attitude, baby. And we're talking about that today with author Mark Allen. And we're also talking about growing better with aging in our minds. And not to focus again on, you know, Alzheimer's, but it's also the attitudes that we have, as you say in your book. You know, how to age with attitude, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about some positive mindsets that might be helpful to us.
It's, you know, you have to, you get up, you know, somebody asked me this morning, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. I'm vertical.
Right?
Yeah. And it's true.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I wake up every, and I think everybody, I think 20-year-olds, aren't they called zombies when they're in their 20s? No.
I love it.
It starts with a Z. So anyway, they, I think that everybody, you know, has a bad back, your foot hurts, you have migraines, whatever it might be.
Yes.
But you have to just, right, get over it. I have a friend who had back issue, and he went to his, and he's a medical doctor, an MD, and they wanted to cut. He said, yeah, there's no way. They, yeah, wanted to cut. They wanted to do surgery.
Sure.
And he said, no. And, yeah, he read some statistics that something like 50 or 60% of back issues heal themselves or go away, or, right, they don't hurt anymore.
Right, right. Wow, that's amazing.
I know. Put that's orthopedics amazing. Out of work, and orthopedic, yeah, out of work, and
yeah,
they wouldn't be able to get a new boat.
That's right. you know, it's been over 20, wow, I would say 25 years. My husband was hit by a 18-wheeler truck and hit the center divider. And he I call him the bionic man because he has titanium steel up and down his spinal cord. Wow. He did agree to the, as they call it, laminectomy. And I think on some level now he sort of regrets it because he says, it did help because now I can stand up, you know, slumping yeah. over. And I can, but he also had a fusion in his cervical area as well. He's, I mean, this poor guy. So, but he's managing the pain in certain ways. And that's his thing too, is he always says to me, I just learn to sort of like do what I can do, get lidocaine patches, do medications,
right.
do exercises, walk, do whatever I can do to just know that it's there, but just not focus on it all the time. And that's, you know, kind of what you and I were just talking about when it comes to keeping a more of a positive mental attitude. So when we see ourselves sort of having pain issues as we get a little older or dealing with arthritis or dealing with things, what are some of the ways do you think we can talk ourselves out of?
I think the best thing to do is keep moving. You know, 100 years ago when I was a kid, somebody had a heart attack and they would keep them bedridden.
Yeah.
Right. Today you have a heart attack. Next day you're up on a treadmill.
Right.
I mean, it may not be that quick, but yeah. it is relatively fast. If you have, I know people who have had knee surgery, knee replacement. You go in today, tomorrow, you're with a physical therapist and you are moving. So the big thing, I think, is move, move, move. Just keep walking. Even, you know, walk around the block.
Yeah.
Once, twice.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, it's exactly.
Really important to do. Yeah.
And how many steps, you know, we can do in a day and measure those and sort of have goals, things like that. You know, I finally opened the pedometer app on my phone so I can actually see how many steps that I walk a day. I'm really...
How are you doing?
I'm doing it now.
Are you?
I'm doing at least my 10,000. But I'm lucky because I live out... I live up in the hills up here in the canyon in you know. So I get to walk up hills and there's trees and things like that. So it sort of forces me to look at the beauty of it all. Gets my mind off. Oh my God, my back and my legs are killing me. But
do you have those pains?
Yeah. Not bad at all.
Right.
I'm blessed enough to not do that, but I try to stretch and, you know, I just right. force myself to keep moving because motion is notion, as they say.
Yes. Motion is motion. I have to tell you my issue with the phone.
Yeah.
Is that it is currently on my desk. Right. Which is a mess, which is why I have everything blurred. And I leave it on my desk. So if I walk around the house, go upstairs, downstairs and do that walking that we're all, I leave it on my desk. So it's not counting my steps. It's not fair.
That's right. Exactly. I want to talk about a great chapter in your book. It's sort of towards the end of the book, but I wanted to get there so we wouldn't run out of time because these are really terrific ideas. It's Mark's 20 commandments for growing older. All right. And you know, they're amazing. I mean,
what page was that?
That has to do with mental health, physical health, you know, just spiritual health, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I just love, you know, this chapter because you nailed it. You nailed it. So let's talk about some of the 20 commandments.
Biggest one.
Yeah. Yes.
Is love. You know, remember the song when we were kids? Love makes the world go round. Love does make the world go round.
All you need is love. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, all you need is love. It's true. we all want movie love. You can talk about that. What I call, you know, you see a couple, you know, boy and a girl, you know, boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl, and they live happily ever after. There's a Broadway play that Carol Burnett was in. It was really her breakout role.
Cool.
And it was based, a musical based on, the fairy tale, Sleeping on a Pea.
Yeah.
Right? And she's looking for love. And Sarah Jessica Parker did it years later.
Right.
Right. And they're saying there is no Cinderella. There is no Snow White and that kind of happy ending. And of course, at the end, they do have a happy ending. I had a friend, he was a psychic, and he told me the following story. He was doing a reading. He did a reading for a young woman and she wanted to get married. And he said, you know, I think within a year, maybe a little bit more, you will find the right guy and you'll get married.
Yeah.
She was ecstatic.
Yeah.
A year and a half goes by.
Right.
And she meets him and she's not married. And she said, you're a phony.
Uh-oh. Right.
You're fake.
Yeah.
And the psychic said to her, well, let's take a look at something. What did you do to help the universe find that perfect guy for you? She said, what do you mean? Well, did you go to church services? Did you go to church activities or temple, synagogue?
Yeah.
Did you go to any dances? Did you ask your friends to hook you up? I think this was in the days before computer dating. And she said, no.
Yeah.
So he said, so what you expected was a guy to come up in a big white horse.
Right.
Swing you up behind him and take you off.
Right. Or the guy that, you know, you were going to eventually meet up was, you know, like the Amazon guy or the, you know, Post-it guy, because, you know, they're the only ones that come to your house who you haven't heard.
We just watched, I don't know why we did, but we watched Legally Blonde.
Oh, what a funny movie that is.
Right.
Christ.
And the nail woman really likes the UPS delivery guy.
Right.
She likes her, and that she never talks to him.
Right.
And finally, she talks to him, and they end up getting married, having babies, and living happily ever after.
That's funny. So in your 20 commandments for growing older, we just talked about it. Love is so important. This is one of the things that I stress too, is kind of important to love yourself first. And a lot of people say to me, well, that's narcissistic. No, it's really not. There's totally the opposite of a narcissist. Loving yourself is having self-compassion, right? And forgiving yourself, trying to forgive yourself and not beat yourself up. And not blame your parents anymore. Get over it. this is why I am like I am, you know. But this, right. You know, this is what keeps my business thriving. But
of
it's
course.
Not only that, but love others.
Yes.
Try to love others. Overlook, you know, some of the issues you have with others who cause problems. And just love them and forgive them and move on.
One of the things that I think exemplifies what you're talking about is being on an airplane.
Yeah.
Okay. When they say, and they're, I mean, if you haven't been on an airplane, I'm sorry, but if you go on an airplane and they do all these safety things and they say, put your mask on first, then help whoever needs help, you know, your child, somebody else, because if there's no air in there, and you pass out, you can't help your kid. So that's why you help yourself first.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And I think that's a form of self-love.
It is. It's beautifully said, honey. It's so true. And you also suggest we love a special person and, try to keep up the romance with whoever that special person is in your life, because you know, as we go through trials and tribulations in life, I mean, sometimes it wears down that old bloom of the honeymoon, you know, and it's
sometimes
kids and we have so, you know, relatives, you name it, financial, whatever.
Right.
It tends to erode that over time because we always have always moving and growing and we have different opinions about how to get through these, you know, roadblocks in life. And it does stifle sometimes the romance, but you have wonderful suggestions in here as to how to keep the romance going.
I think you know? That was Servette's side. I didn't read it.
Well, you know, you didn't though, but you know, even, you know, body language, touching, cuddling, yeah. And reaching out, sharing with that person how special they are always and not taking advantage of, and, you know, that kind of thing. And
yes. Yeah.
You know, that's basically what you guys both were emphasizing in the book, loving family. And, you know, we can pick our friends, but we can't pick our family. And some of our family, we'd rather not. And we absolutely wouldn't be friends with. But
can I ask you a professional question? Because I'm on your couch right now. Right.
You are.
Right. If you have somebody in a family member or somebody in your life that you really either don't like, they rub you the wrong way, they suck your energy out, they whatever it might be, is it okay to say, I don't want to be around you anymore? Or just.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I think anything is okay. I mean, I know that. Like Dr. Phil, I'm one of the most non-judgmental people you'll ever meet. You know, that's sort of where I'm at too, in a way, because I my whole thing is trying to manage, if it's a family member, trying to manage the cohesiveness of the family with a family member who's very difficult. So my thing is everyone else can have their relationship with that individual the way they wish. But you get to choose. And if that person is troublesome or causes drama and trauma, you get to share with them that you're going to draw boundaries. And because you don't like a certain way they, you know, respond to others or act, or they have hurt you way too many times. And
do you tell them that or just stop seeing them?
It just sort of depends on the individual. I'm not one for ghosting. And I'm more for, you know, communicating and drawing boundaries. And so my thing is to, just like medication, is titrating back, titrating down from a certain individual who may be so, you know, much of an energy vampire that they have the whole family going crazy and everybody's talking about them and they're getting the result they want, which is the attention of the drama. But you don't have to play. And I think titrating down and being busy a lot. And when they say things that are hurtful or not okay, you call them on it and just say, that's really not comfortable. And so, yeah, that's my suggestion. Yeah.
I don't have family members that I ghost. Just I have contractors that occasionally. Yeah, I'm going to come over and paint your house. I'll be there on Tuesday. And
that's funny. But I mean, no, does that help answer your question a little bit? I don't know. I just think it's the communication is the way to go. So, and you also talk about in your 20 commandments is loving family. And of course, we can't always forgive people who've hurt us deeply.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So it's okay. Some people say, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Okay. That's great too. It's like, don't focus on that energy. Don't create that energy. Oh my God, this person is really horrible. And I just can't. Don't gossip. Don't just try to deal with and love the best you can, folks. And be honest with them if they're not loving to you and just, you know, that's the way it is. Just do for you what makes you feel best. You know, and that's what I would say. So it's really important. So I love Servette's, one of her Ten Commandments, and it's, thou shalt learn to tolerate idiots. She is so funny. She just cracks me up. I love her stuff.
Yeah.
She's really, Servette Hassan, by the way, is Mark's co-author of this book.
Yeah.
Boink. Boop.
Yeah. And a lot of people said, oh, that's your wife. No, she is not my wife. She is my friend.
Yeah.
And
yes,
she and her boyfriend just moved to Pittsburgh.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. I wish they moved to Philadelphia. Oh. The food is better there. But and then if I visited, you know. But
yeah, she's a cool lady. She really
is a very cool lady.
You guys wrote this book, which is so terrific, because it includes so many you know, ideas about how to keep ourselves youthful, energetic, and not being in the consciousness of, oh, we're getting old, and what we should or shouldn't do. Right?
Yeah, it's you know, I think that's hard. February is a little difficult time for me personally, because my father passed away at the end of February.
Oh.
And it's been a number of years. He died very young.
Yes.
And so, you know, things go through my head, and it's hard. It's hard to say, gee, he never got to see his grandkids. He never got to see the fruits of his labors over the years, you know?
Sure.
And then you think, oh my God, I'm next.
Right.
And exactly. I think that's a common thought.
No, exactly. Sure. Yeah. Sure. And it's scary, you know, a lot of times. You also talk about epigenetics in your book, you know, Doctor, where he talks, that's like the new study. And of course, the guy that I interviewed before and who, you know, he's really well known is Dr. Joe Dispenza. He talks about that study and how we don't have to be, you know, victims of our ancestors' genetics if we know how to treat them and know how to anticipate them. Even, you know, like whoever might have high blood pressure, well, I'm going to eat foods or I'm going to lower my stress. Preventative methods that you suggest in here, which are really lovely. Also, managing hormones is another, you know, chapter that you talk about that also deals with having sex and improving our sexual relationships as we get older as well. And,
Do you remember the movie? I can't remember what it is. Well, As Good As It Gets is one.
Oh, God, yeah, that was hilarious.
Right. And there was another one with Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson where they get it on, they have sex. And
right.
Over 60, right?
Right.
And I found those things very sexy, very romantic. I mean, I like romance. I like, you know, rom-coms. That's my favorite kind of a movie.
Yes.
I started to watch a horror movie a couple weeks ago. And somebody pulled out a gun and shot himself, done. You see the blood, the brains fall out. Not interested.
No.
I don't like that.
Me either. And I think that also has to do with keeping our psyche at a higher place. It's like we choose what we want to, you know, absorb. Sure, it's important to know what's going on in the news and all that. But, you know, it's all about, of course, we need to know about whatever is going on with the crazy shooters and why. And
right.
And violence in our society and world, for that matter, of course. But becoming obsessed with the negatives and the dark side of life really can kind of knock us down, as you suggest in your book, focusing more on positive affirmations that we really believe. Right. You know, I am awake today. Uh-huh. My thing is when I get up, I say my first words are, thank you.
Are they really?
Then you're vertical. You know, I say thank you when I stand up because this is great. Another day, you know, another, wow, this is cool. What can I do?
And gratitude itself is really important. I try, I don't do it every day, and I know I should. And we talk about that in the book, gratitude is all important. I'm thankful yes. for my health. I'm thankful for my wife, my kids, my family, yes. My abilities, hopefully to communicate and to talk with people and to extricate, you know, information
yes.
From them. And yes. I think that, and I'm very thankful for that. Mostly for health, because without yeah. health.
Yes.
Right.
That's right. And that's why it's really important too. And also you cover this in your book for people to really, you know, make sure they have checkups to get their labs done and, you know, find out the best way to manage if you have any kind of, you know, issue, diabetes, high blood pressure, you want to lose a couple of pounds, you want to just exercise more, anything that you need to do to improve your health physically, you know, you need to keep checking yourself out and really don't sit on your butt and watch TV all the time or watch TikTok and, you know, just Instagram and find out which, get up and do stuff.
Yeah. Move. We're going back to move. And here's an opportunity for me to bang on insurance companies. Why yeah. the hell would you insurance companies not allow women over, I don't know, 70,
yeah.
to have, you know, mammograms or, yeah. Other services, because that's the area
right
where a lot of women have breast cancer.
Right, exactly.
Why do you stop allowing not paying for colonoscopies after 70 or right. 75? It just makes no sense to me. So, you know, the CEOs of those companies get huge bonuses for denying claims.
You know, that's, I agree. And don't get me started on insurance companies. Oh, yeah. Don't get me started.
I know.
Don't get me started. Oh. So, you know, besides really taking care of yourself physically and trying to be, you know, positive mentally and keeping your brain active, what overall would be a few of the most important things that we should remember as we get older that you might suggest as we wrap up our show today?
Well, I think that you know, the moving, having people in your life, not sitting on the couch and watching Wheel of Fortune. I can't answer the damn puzzles anyway. Doing something that matters, you know, helping people. I think you psychologists say that if you're really depressed, find somebody to help.
Yes.
And because it'll help you.
Right.
And when you help people, what a wonderful way of living. I mean, what else is there?
Yes, exactly. No, exactly. I mean, that's it. Help others. And that's a whole thing about what we put out, we get back. And right. don't forget to love yourselves and be gentle on yourselves. And I think that's beautifully said also in your book. Folks, please check it out. It's on Amazon, anywhere you can find it. Mark, what's the best way that people can find out more about you?
You can go to, there's latenighthealth.com. There's also growingoldsucks.com. You can go to Kindle on Amazon.
Nice.
You can get a Kindle version of this for 99 cents.
Wow. Great.
Which is a great deal. And it's fun. It's fun. How long did it take you to read it?
Oh man, probably about 20 minutes.
Okay.
I was speeding, but I mean, I'm a speed reader. But
We think it's an hour and a half, something like that.
Yeah, it is. If you're just sitting and really going to take things up and take things in and really learn, it's a short, quick, but most informative read, most helpful. It contains some very important information about, you know, how to manage as we age, you know, all about it. Doctors, interviews, you guys really did your homework and did a beautiful job. But,
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much for the book. Again, Growing Old Sucks, but it doesn't have to. Thank you, my good old friend. not old as an age, but many years I have known you since college.
Yes, that is true.
Thanks, that Mark.
Thanks a lot, Michelle. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, always.
Hello to the family.
All right. Love you. Take care.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me today on the couch. This information will be up in the archives here on latalkradio.com. And as I always say, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.